by the name of Steve Goodman wrote a song called The Perfect Country and Western Song. And I decided I wanted to write a song called The Perfect Country and Western Praise Song. So I wrote the song, and I decided I wanted to play it for somebody that I knew was a perfect country and western expert. So I went to one that I knew was an expert on country and western music, and I said, Bill Cobble, I said, Bill, listen to this song, tell me what you think. And he said, well, you know, Don, that's a mighty fine song, except it's not the perfect country and western praise song. And he would know. Bill Cobble was a country when country wasn't cool. And he was sitting there at the table, and he's had RLC Coca-Cola, and he's dropping peanuts into it. So I knew this man is country. So I sat down and I wrote another verse to the song. He told me that you didn't say nothing about mama. And he said you didn't say nothing about dogs or hunting or trains or trucks. And he said nothing in that song about kinfolk getting saved. So I sat down, I wrote another verse to this song, and I knew after I wrote this verse that I had written the perfect country and western praise song. And the last verse goes like this here. Well, I was out hunting with my dog the day my mama accepted Jesus. I was late getting home, 'cause this big old most slow moving freight train. When I pulled into the driveway in my pickup truck, my whole family was on their knees, just praising Jesus' name. Oh, I hang around as long as the Lord will let me. Amazing grace, let's sing another round. Sound. You don't have to call me double-minded anymore. For I was lost. Oh, I never did count the cost. I was lost, but now I'm found. You know I'm found. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we do thank you for this time we could spend singing, praising you, O God, and sitting at your feet, learning from you, being encouraged by you. O God, we have several things from you. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings, but we have the blood of Jesus. We have the name of Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit, and we have our testimony. We have our testimony, and we pray, O God, that that testimony would be something that everyone out there would see and hear from us, O God, because the testimony is I am an overcomer. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. We praise you, Father. We ask you to bless our time. Bless Pete as he brings your message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. There you go, guys. Good job, buddy. Sam who? Tell ya. You snooze, you lose. Why don't you open your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. You know, in Luke chapter 9, it's just one of those dynamite chapters. There's just so much going on. Jesus has been in what they call his great Galilean ministry, where he was going around and he was very popular, as you remember, and just great crowds, healing people, preaching stuff like they'd never heard before. He was quite a sensation. And in the first few verses of Luke 9, Jesus is doing what we called in ministry a faith trip. He's sending his guys out, the 12, and it says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. See, when he's sending them out, well, let me get finished reading. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, don't take anything on your journey, neither staffs nor bag or bread or money. Don't even take two tunics. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will receive you, will not receive you. When you go to that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. And Jesus gave them, it says in that very first verse, two things and everything they needed. He gave them the power and the authority to get the job done. Now, God doesn't call us to do things without giving us the power and the authority to get the job done. That doesn't mean we always get the job done, does it? So if we fail, it's not because he hadn't given us power. And the power means the ability to get the job done. And the ability to get the job done is the Holy Spirit. He gives us the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. And then he gave us authority, and that's to go in his name. We just sang a great song about his name. And there are a lot of songs about Jesus' name. Because at the name of Jesus, the scripture teaches us there in Philippians 2. The name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You got to have a Lord. Everybody's got to have a Lord. I choose Jesus. Amen. Everybody's got to have a king. We talked about him in a song here saying a king. I choose Jesus as my king. And so did the disciples, and he was discipling the disciples. He was helping them understand what sanctification really means. What does it mean to be conformed, transformed, and even transfigured? And Jesus was doing all that in this chapter. And he sent them on this faith trip because he wanted them to learn to be men not of fear but of faith, of trusting him. Not leaning on their own understanding. They all were familiar with that verse, and as we are. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. And Jesus has to teach us that. We can hear it, but you don't really learn in a classroom how to be like Jesus. You can learn about Jesus, but you learn being with Jesus and being obedient to Jesus and the things that he's called and told you to do. That's where we learn. And that's where he was going to teach these guys. He says, guys, it's not a classroom. I'm sending you out. They're going solo now. They're not going to be with him. Back in chapter 6, he had called them. He ordained them. The 12 out of all these guys, maybe over 100 guys that were calling themselves his disciples and following him around. He spent all night in prayer there in Luke 6. And then he called 12 and he called them apostles, it says. So now they're traveling with him. They're his assistants, his helper. They're the guys that get things done. We'll see in a minute when he fed the 5,000 about that too. So he sent them out on a faith trip. And he says, look, I'm going to give you power over demons. You can cast out demons. I'm going to give you authority in my name to heal all kinds of diseases. And then the most important thing is you're going to go out and preach the gospel. The good news. Now, these other things, these healings and casting out demons, they're going to authenticate your ministry. They're going to prove that you have a power. And then when you preach the gospel, people are going to find out what that power is and who that power is and where it comes from. Because everybody wants to know. They looked at Peter in Acts 4 and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they were watching Peter preach this unbelievably powerful message, and they'd say, who is this guy? Isn't that fisherman from Galilee? How could he be speaking like this? He hadn't had any background. He has no credentials. He has no training. Oh, they remembered he had been with Jesus. He's one of his guys. That must be where he's getting the power. That must be where it's coming from. You know, guys, you need to be called. Whatever God's called you to be, whatever God's called you to do, you need to know that God has called you. You need to have that security of knowing that I'm calling you and giving you the power and the authority to do the job I've called you to do. Again, God's not calling us to minister or serve or do anything without giving us the power to do it. It's just, are we plugged into the power? Are we receiving the power? Are we being filled with that Spirit? Don't be drunk with wine, that's dissipation. Be filled with the power, filled with the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive power to be my witnesses. And that's what he was sending these guys out to do, to be his witnesses. And he gave them the power and the authority to do it. So if God calls you to do something and you think, well, I'm not up to it, then good, because you're not. If you say, I can't do that, then good, because you can't. If you say, I don't have the gifts, good, because you don't. Because in, he made that crystal clear in John 15. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you'll bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing eternal, nothing lasting, nothing that's truly going to transform lives and impact lives. That'll last. Fruit that will last. And so that's why we put such an emphasis on spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer, spending time with Him. I've told you many times before, when I left the mission field and went in and became a pastor, the Lord gave me two assignments. He says, here's your first assignment. Preach the gospel. Preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and let the chips fall where they may. Don't worry about whether they like it, they don't like it. Don't worry about how long your job's going to last or how long your job's not going to last. Here's your assignment. Preach a crucified Christ. Because there's an uncrucified Christ that's running rampant out there. You preach a crucified Christ. And don't worry about how they respond. Second thing he says, if you're going to make it as a pastor, and this could be true with a lot of things. We could fill in that blank, I think, with a lot. If you're going to make it as a husband, if you're going to make it as a father, if you're going to make it as a businessman, then you're going to have to spend a lot of time with me. You're going to have to spend a lot of time in my presence. And if there's a secret to any man's life, if there's any man that's bearing fruit, if there's any man that's making an impact for Jesus Christ, I guarantee you that guy's spending time in God's presence. That guy is in prayer, the guy is in the Word, the guy is hungry, and he hungers and thirsts for righteousness. The guy loves his salvation. He knows he's forgiven. He loves grace. And he's a man of faith, not fear. He's what you might call a prayer warrior. He's not there, but he's growing. He's not there, but he knows the priority of prayer in his life and in his marriage, his family, his ministry, whatever that is. And I'm not talking about guys that are called and raising support or being paid a salary to have a title that says you're in full-time ministry. I'm talking about you and me. I'm talking about, I'd like to think, and I'd always try to think of myself, not as a guy in ministry. I would be doing this if I had no ministry title, no ministry organization. I'd still want to be doing what I'm doing. I'd still want to be serving Christ one way or the other. Wherever he led me to do it, whatever he gifted me to do, called me to do. And sometimes he calls me to do things I'm not gifted to do. And that doesn't usually work out too well, but I do it anyway. Right after that, Jesus, in verse 10, and the apostles, when they returned, told him that they had what they had done in going out there. And Jesus, you know, there was another account of them going out and just Jesus was high-fiving. Man, I saw Satan fall to earth like lightning. And he was celebrating with the guys because they were fired up. I mean, you go cast out a bunch of demons and see people healed, you might get a little fired up. You might get excited. I remember with Campus Crusade, we were going through their lay institute for evangelism and I was just fresh off the turnip truck, brand new Christian. And so we went down to get trained in how to share our faith. And I learned this, share a definition. Witnessing is sharing Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. I like that. I like the freedom of that. And it helped me understand what witnessing is all about. But what they did at the end of all the week-long training, they put us on buses. There was about three buses full of guys on the bus. Bunch of laymen from all over the place. This was down in Florida somewhere. And they told us, here's what we're going to do, guys. We're going to go to the neighborhood. We're going to drop you off in the neighborhood, and you're going to go knocking on doors, sharing the four laws. Only three guys threw up on the bus on the way into the on the way into the neighborhood. But when we got back, we had dinner, and then after dinner, every guy got a chance to share what his experience was. It was amazing, the things that they were sharing, and the people that invited them in, the door that two guys went to, who sent them out in pairs, just like Jesus did here. And they knocked on a door, and the gal came to the door, and they says, ma'am, we're here to talk to you about Jesus Christ. She says, you're the guys He said, "What do you mean?" He says, "I just asked God if he was really real to send someone." And they showed up at her door. I mean, all kinds of stuff like that happens. When you're just trusting God by faith and believing him, scared to death, scared spitless, throwing up while you're doing it. And God just blesses. He blesses obedience. One guy, Jesus says, "I want you to go work in the field." And he goes, "I ain't doing it." The other guy says, "I want you to go work in the field." And he goes, "Okay, I will." The guy that said he wouldn't did, and the guy that says he would didn't. Who do you think God blessed? So I've found that most of us guys are like that first guy. The first guy is the guy that says, "Nah, not me. I'm not going to do that." But there's something inside of that guy that wants to be obedient, that has to be obedient. And that's the Spirit of God working in his heart. Amen. So even though his initial response was, "Nah, I don't think I'm good for that. I don't have time for that. I wouldn't be gifted for that." Whatever your excuse is, you did it anyway. Because you didn't want to tell God no. This other guy, he said, "Yeah, I'll do it." But he had no intention. He was one of those probably not guys I was sharing with you. Is it right? Yeah. Should I do it? Yeah. Am I going to do it? Probably not. But I'm going to let you think I'm going to do it. And you got to decide which one of those. It's always a choice. Which guy am I? When the chips are down, am I just going to obey Christ? Or am I going to say I will, but don't? We got too many of those guys. You know about feeding the 5,000. Everybody's familiar with that passage and everything. And the key point in this passage I want to point out is the disciples came to Jesus and they said, "You know, these guys are out in a desolate place. They're a long way from the closest McDonald's. We need to send them home because it's getting late in the day." And so Jesus goes, "Well, you feed them." And here again, he's putting it right on the disciples. He's training these guys. This is a training of the 12. He says, "You feed them." Now, what's the first thing you would think? How are we going to do that? Well, one of them spoke up and said, "I just found this kid over here. He's got 5 loaves and a couple of fish." And Jesus says, "Well, start handing it out. Separate all these people into groups of 50. That must have taken a little while. Especially if there was men in the group. And there's only 5,000 of those in the group. Now, this is a miracle of organization, if nothing else. And so they separated them in groups of 50, and he took it, and you know what he did? They started handing out this bread and this fish, and they just kept multiplying and multiplying and multiplying, and everybody got food. There was nobody that went away hungry. Not only did they not go away hungry, they had 12 baskets full of fish and bread left over for the disciples to be blessed with themselves afterwards. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Disciples had it as a reward for their faith and their service. God's always going to reward. He's a rewarder of those who believe in him and follow him and obey him. He blesses like crazy. One day I think we're going to regret, some of us, we're going to regret the fact that we didn't empty our pockets for Christ. We're going to regret the fact that we could have done so much more. It's that scene out of Schindler's List where the guy's sitting there at the end of the movie, "Why didn't I sell this ring? Why didn't I sell that car? I could have saved more. I could have done more." Let's just don't have to live that kind of life. Let's live the kind of life that we can live without regret. Without looking back going, "I wish I had, I wish I'd have done more, I wish I'd have, when he gave me the opportunity, I didn't take it." Now, we all do that, okay? At that judgment seat of Christ where he judges not for salvation but Christians for how obedient we've been and what we've done with what he's given us. Some of us have been given 1 talent, some of us 2 or 3, some of us 5. So regardless of how many talents you've been given, and yet that could be gifts and talents and abilities, it could be money, it could be possessions, it could be whatever God's entrusted to you. It's all his. We're stewards. What'd you do with it? And here's what the devil always does. When he gave it, got down to that guy that got 1 talent, this guy goes, "Well, I knew you were a hard taskmaster." You know, here's what the enemy's doing. You see it on TV all the time now. He always accuses you of what he's guilty of. He'll accuse you of things that he's doing and be bold-faced about it, like he doesn't even understand what a hypocrite he is. But that's what the devil did. I knew you were a hard taskmaster who gathered where you have not sown and reap where you have not scattered. And so I was afraid and I hid my talent in the ground. And Jesus says, you wicked servant. Cast him into the outer darkness. Well, that's not good news. But he had bought a lie. I knew you were a hard taskmaster. And this is the same Jesus that had already said, look, take my yoke upon you because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You're going to find rest for your souls. That's the truth. The devil comes along and he says, that's a lie. This is hard. It's a burden to serve Jesus Christ. It's going to cost you everything you have. You're going to have to surrender. You're going to have to step back. You're going to have to give up. You're going to have to deny yourself. And in this very passage right here, Jesus tells him the cost of following him. In verse 23, then he said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross every day and follow me. There is a cost to following Jesus Christ, but there's a greater cost to not following Jesus Christ. So when we talk about a cost, for the guy that really loves Christ, the guy that's truly been forgiven, to the guy that knows that he's been given grace, unmerited favor that he didn't deserve, the guy that's soaked and marinated in his salvation, in every day of his life, he's grateful that he's forgiven. He's grateful he knows he's going to heaven. There's no doubt in mind that's been settled. He's not going to stand before some judge one day and say, sheep, goat, sheep, goat. He's a sheep. He's been saved. And he gets the rest of his life, however long that may be, to live it out and prove it. That's called discipleship, sanctification. It's called being the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And so that's where you and I are right now. We're living our lives out. Most of us have made some kind of commitment to Jesus Christ. Some of those commitments are not real commitments. They're commitments that are holding back. That you were that second guy in the illustration that Jesus told. Yeah, I will. But you won't. That's the guys that come to him and say, Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, you know what? I never knew you. Yeah, but we cast out demons in your name. We perform miracles. We prophesied in your name. I know. My name's pretty powerful. But you were never doing it for my glory. You were never going from glory to glory in your life. A progressive growth. Progressing in Christ. Growing in Christ. More man of the word. More man of prayer. That's what God has called us to do. And sometimes the devil comes along and he says, you know, isn't that asking a little too much? I mean, this religion stuff, it's good. You need a part of your life that's religious. And Jesus says, I don't want religious guys. I want guys that are totally 100%, best they know, sold out to me. I want guys that are thinking and praying all the time without ceasing. I want guys that define their very lives by who I am. And my work in their life and my call on their life and the mission I've called them to. I want guys that are not confused about who they are, why they're here, where they're going, and how they're going to get there. Because who they are, they're disciples and followers of Jesus Christ. Why are they here? They have a mission. Who they serve? They serve their Lord and their King, Jesus Christ, and they check with him on everything. And where we're headed for eternal glory with him in heaven. And we want to take as many with us as we can, amen?
Amen.
But see, we need to be reminded of this on a regular basis because lately the little foxes have been spoiling my vineyard. I've been sick for the last 3 weeks with the whatever it is. Can't ever nail it down as far as putting labels on it because there's so many different strains going around. And then there have been other things that are going on. There are these little health issues that you get if you live long enough. And they've been distracting me, waking me up in the middle of the night sometimes. So the Lord and I, we had a great opportunity yesterday to have our extended time in prayer with our journey group. So we started out, and Rocky and the material in preparation says, go through Psalm 19. Read through that. And the very first verse in Psalm 19 is saying, God created all the expanse of the universe. The universe tells His story and His glory. It's a message every day. And every night the stars reveal His majesty and His power. And it was like the Lord was saying to me, you know, you're not that big a deal. To be waking up in the middle. It's like I think it was Ray over there told me one time when I got mad after a golf shot. He says, you ain't that good. I mean, if he was a better golfer, I could see you getting mad about this. Thanks for that, Ray. I needed to hear that. And I needed to hear that first verse of Psalm 19 because God was saying, look, you ain't that big a deal. When you wake up in the middle of the night, you're a man of fear or faith. Fear. I flunked that one. But I want to be a man of faith. And so we had a nice conversation about that. And slept good last night. But God had to remind me of things that I get distracted by. And that's what all these things do. That's political things, health things, marriage things, family things. And we forget who we are. We forget where we're going. We forget why we're here. We forget who's going to get us there. We forget who's in charge, who we answer to, who we're accountable to. But we need to be reminded. My job is to remind you. And I have the accountability of doing that. And God's going to want to know, did you preach Christ crucified to these guys? Do they really understand the gospel? Do they understand that we're saved by grace through faith? It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. Not a result of work so no man can brag about it. Do they really understand it's not their performance I'm looking for? Do they understand that I'm looking just for men who rather be loving than right? And I can't wait till next week because we're going to get to that part in this chapter next week. But guys, we serve a risen Savior. His name is above every name. You're on the right track if you're following Jesus Christ. If you're living it out, two steps forward, one step back. Sometimes one step forward and two steps back, but we're moving in the right direction. You're gathering with men in a group like this and any other group that gathers with men that are chasing after Christ. You're gathering with men that are going to help you get there. They're going to make you a better man because you got around these guys. You got in a journey group with them. You're in praying in prayer groups with them. You're fellowshipping with them in a time like this together and worshiping together. You're going to be a better man because you've been involved with other godly men. And you'll never be the godly man you could be or should be without other godly men in your life. You need mentors. You need peer guys. You need guys building down into you. You need guys on your level. And you need to be building into other guys. And you are one way or the other. You're a mentor. You're a coach. You're showing them what to do or what not to do every day by the decisions you make, the countenance on your face, the faith that you have or not. And we're in this thing together. There's nothing I like more, and I've been on teams all my life. A lot of us are athletes. A lot of us had military backgrounds. So we know what it means to be on a team. We know that the value of a team and the value of a leader on a team. And that's what we're producing here. So guys, we're fixing to get out there and you're going out there and you're not going out the same guy you came in because you've been reminded of a few things that you're going to make some adjustments to. That's what growing in Christ means. It means just making adjustments. The Spirit, the Word of God is good for correction and rebuke. That's the first two things He said. You need to just correct that. You need to stop doing that. You need to start doing that. But you don't need to do it because of performance. You don't need to do it out of duty. What you need to do is surrender your heart to Jesus Christ, and then you find yourself doing the right thing. So what we want to do as guys is we say, okay, I'm going to join a gym, and I'm really going to go this time. And then you do three times. But then you get busy, and that's kind of hard anyway. And I think, you know, my blood pressure's been okay lately, and you don't do it. You don't keep doing it. And some guy comes along like Alan Newell and says, let's go join Silver Sneakers or whatever it is. That's some free deal Medicare gives you over at the gym. They're trying to do everything they can do to get me in there. And one day I'm going to regret not having been there. I think that may be today. So guys, let's get after it. you're following the right king. You have the right Lord and Savior. You don't have to look anymore for all that. You don't have to look for purpose and meaning. You don't have to look for love and acceptance. You don't have to strive for security and peace. It's all yours, and you all have it. You got as much of it as you want to receive right now, today, this very moment. Now let's just take all that God has given us and let's live it out there in a way that we're praying for our enemies and blessing those who persecute you. Don't you get angry one more time without confessing it as sin and repenting over it, watching TV. Okay? Pray for those people. Pray for God's awakening in our country. Pray for guys like Justin here who's working over at UCI and working with those same students over there. His work is cut out for him. And so we get behind guys like that, that are doing that kind of stuff. They're taking the good news. And so let's stack hands on that today. Will we do that? Father, that's what we do this morning. We just thank you for letting us be part of the 12 now. The training of guys like us. And you're the guys, the one, Lord, that builds into our lives. You're the one that gives us the faith, the grace. And we just want to thank you for that this morning. We just want to praise you for being that kind of God. And the kind of God that takes care of his men, that leads his men, that provides leadership and protection. Gives us the word of God, gives us prayer and access to the throne of God in Jesus' name. Gives us fellowship with each other and encouragement. Gives us friends and coaches and mentors. Gives us guys that we can fan their flame in Christ and help them out. And so, Lord, may we just shine even brighter. May we run harder and faster in your direction. May we hang tighter to your screen door. And we're not going to let anyone shake us off. We'll give you the power and the glory and the majesty, because that's who you are and it all belongs to you. And we just praise you for it today. In Jesus' name, and all God's men said.
Amen.
Give them heaven, guys.